Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:21. That's Pacific Summer Time. Today is October 12th, and really all the action today was in the currency markets. When we look at what happened with the pound, it was up about 90 ticks, but at the high of the day, it was up quite a bit more than that. It was up to 123 and a quarter, finished out the day at 122 and 11 ticks. So part of the reason for that was because there was initial euphoria, at least on the part of those that are worried about where the UK economy is going to go, that Theresa May was willing to debate the strategy for negotiating the exit of the UK from the EU in the House of Commons. But as it began to unfold, that's all it's going to be, is a debate on the strategy rather than a vote on whether it would in fact go ahead or not, then the pound's rally was pegged back. But the dollar index overall has broken a progression of lower rally highs. It looks like this triangular pattern that we identified last week is being resolved on the upside. And that would conclude then, or at least the initial conclusions are, that provided it is sustained, that at least the index will go back up and test that psychological 100 level. And of course, it may not stop there. So that represents a very important pivot, and something that has had an effect on both the bond markets and has been a bit of a headwind for equity markets overall. The reality is that there is now the potential for a widening interest rate differential between the US dollar and particularly the euro and the yen, but also the Swiss franc and indeed the pound. And then that could have that could act as a tailwind overall for the dollar. Now, if the Fed does indeed go ahead and raise interest rates, then that would result in higher yields, particularly on the short end of the curve. And that is, I think, being priced into bonds overall. Now, of course, I think it is important to highlight this fact that stock markets overall have been pretty range-bound. The S&P 500 was pretty much unchanged today. The Nasdaq was in mildly negative territory, and the Dow was also pretty much unchanged. And the majority of indices in Europe and in Japan, or indeed Asia generally, were in negative territory, but not in a dynamic fashion. And when we look at a ranging environment overall, and particularly on Wall Street, where it has been up one day, down the next. Well, it was down yesterday and failed to rally today. But we can make two arguments, and that's pretty symptomatic of a ranging environment overall, because we could say, right, interest rates are about to rise. The fact that the stock market has been relatively sanguine would suggest that investors believe that the economy is strong enough to tolerate it. And of course, that would be the bullish argument. The bearish argument is that there is no way that the economy can tolerate it, because it's been totally addicted to liquidity, and that any rise in the cost of that liquidity is going to have an effect downwards. And that is why it really is important that if the dollar is going to continue to rally, that stock markets can hold their breakout. If the bullish environment overall is to remain credible, then the S&P and the Nasdaq will sustain their moves above the 200-day moving average. Because if the S&P were to fall below the 200-day MA and prove unable to find support in the region of the upper side of the underlying range and pull back below 2100, or perhaps more importantly 2050, then that would open the door to a failed upside break and a retest of the lower side of the range. And that lower side of the range is at 1800. So there's a lot to play for here. And because we have been in an inert environment overall, then the breakout when it comes is likely to be important. But I think it's also worth considering that some of the largest companies in the world, and particularly Apple, Google, Microsoft, and Facebook, they continue to represent the center for technological innovation, and most particularly the big companies that are benefiting most from technological innovation. And in it's hard to imagine that we're going to have a very big correction without those also turning downwards. And most particularly Amazon, which is $150 overextended relative to the trend mean, then it continues to move higher, and there isn't any sign yet that it is even moving into a mean reversion, not to mind anything else. Then there really is a lot to play for in here right now. When we look at bond yields, particularly on the short end of the curve, but also on the long end, then we saw on the 10-year, we saw a failed downside break in July. Now we've seen a higher reaction low, and now we've moved on to a new recovery high. So I think we now can conclude that yields are trending higher. They're right in the region of the 200-day moving average. It's certainly not all. It hasn't all been one-way action, and short-term oversold condition is evident in some of those prices. But we have a higher reaction low in terms of the yield, and a sustained move below it would be required to confirm our return to demand dominance. Now, and of course, there you can make bullish and bearish arguments about bonds as well, because if interest rates go up too much and they have a negative effect on the economy, and you get fears of recession, well then bonds would rally once more. So, there are a lot of moving parts in here, but what is potentially interesting is that precious metals, despite the fact that we've had quite a bit of dollar strength, have been pretty steady. Now, platinum overall has been moving to new reaction lows. It's now trading below 950, and it is really oversold. Now, there's increasing speculation that people aren't going to need as much platinum anymore because we're all going to be driving electric cars. And even if one has got the most ambitious forecasts overall that we're now at 1% of the vehicle fleet, if it doubles every year, which is what it has been doing, then it would take between 3 and 4 years to get up to 10%. Now, that's 4 years from now, but prices are already pricing it in. So that would suggest that a clear upward dynamic would set off a wave of short covering, but there's no evidence of it just yet. Gold has and silver were in mildly positive territory today, but they have so far failed to really stage an impressive rally. Certainly not enough to check the bears in this market, and that's what they really do need to do in order to really reignite investor interest. When we look at stock markets overall, then particularly in Wall Street, particularly in Europe and in Japan, these indices are right in the region of the upper side of their respective ranges. They were all in negative territory today. They really do need to sustain moves up and out of these ranges to confirm a return to demand dominance. And in the absence of that, we can anticipate that it's going to be just a rangy, more difficult environment overall. Potentially, the weakness of their respective currencies could act as a bullish catalyst in at least in nominal terms, but we have not really a great deal of evidence of it yet, and not least because the euro is now testing its progression of higher reaction lows. The yen is also pressuring its progression of higher reaction lows, so those trends have not yet been broken. We've had the dollar index breaking, resolving on the upside, but it hasn't yet, and perhaps it has been the pound that has driven it there, and the Swedish krona, which moved to a new reaction low in here today, but not quite yet there on the yen and the euro. So I think it is still a very important index to watch, because if we get upside follow through, that could be a bullish catalyst for both Europe and Japan. And the other big news item in here today was, despite the fact that OPEC has committed to cutting production by 750,000 barrels, that production has in fact increased by 500,000 barrels. Brent crude was a little bit weaker in here today, down about half a dollar. But this continues to look like a consolidation in the region of the upper side of the range, and it really does need to sustain a breakout to confirm a return to demand dominance. So, if we take it all in all, then there are a lot of indices that are just right there, and they need to break out if we're going to see trends develop. And particularly in the precious metals, they are very overextended, but clear upper dynamics are going to be required to check momentum in those markets. And we've had a higher reaction low in yields. And because we are now only 4 weeks away from the US election, and the outcome is still really up for grabs, and because there is such a wide difference between the parties, then we are in a potential period of time where there is room for volatility. And I think with that, I'm going to leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.